I love that part where he was praying about, for those of us who have heard the story for so long, and it's new every morning. It's new every morning. Never get tired of hearing and sharing the story of Jesus Christ. As I mentioned, this is the fourth Sunday of the season of Lent, and we've been in a sermon series that began with Jesus prepares us, and then we talked about Jesus warns us, and then Jesus rescues us, and today, Jesus restores us. Now, I know that you've heard this phrase many times, and I'm guessing that you have said it yourself many times. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Ever heard that? Nobody knows how long that phrase has been around, or which Georgia farmer probably uttered it the first time. But did you know that that phrase is officially attributed to Burt Lance? Burt Lance was the director of the Office of Management and Budget under Jimmy Carter. The year was 1977, and it was a newsletter of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce called Nation's Business, and this is what it said. Burt Lance believes he can save Uncle Sam billions if he can get the government to adopt a simple motto, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. He explains, that's the trouble with government, fixing things that aren't broken and not fixing things that are broken. Now, I don't want to talk about the government today. I heard good. I don't want to talk about the government today. I want to talk about that quote, but I want to talk about especially the second part of that quote, fixing things that are broken. When things are broken, we need a handyman. We need a handywoman. We need somebody that knows how to fix it and somebody who's available and who's willing to fix it. There's a story that I love about a church in Switzerland. Have you been to Switzerland? Switzerland is a beautiful, beautiful country. And this was a small village in a mountainous part of Switzerland, but there was an unusually large church in the village, and it sat on the side of the mountain, and you could see it for miles. And that church was blessed to have an unusually wonderful, large pipe organ. Do you remember the pipe organ? It's been buried by most churches, hopefully to be resurrected at some point in the future. It used to be and still is, praise God, the king of instruments. Well, this pipe organ was so beautiful and it was so well known. When they played it in the church, the sound would fill the valley and bounce off of the mountainsides, and people would come from miles and miles just to hear the glorious music filling the mountainside. But something very tragic happened. The organ broke. No more music. The congregation was distraught, and so they sought experts to come fix the organ. People came from far away and spent many hours and days and weeks working on the organ. And if you've ever been around an organ, a pipe organ that's being worked on, it's not a pleasant sound, because you hear these screeches and moans and all kinds of strange sounds filling the place. And so this beautiful music was replaced by this awful, awful sound. The tragedy is that no one succeeded in repairing the organ. Until one day, there was a knock on the church door, and an old man was standing there. May I help you? He said, I hear that you need someone to help fix the pipe organ. I would like to give it a try. Well, they were reluctant to ask this man to do that. They were reluctant to even let him in the organ chamber where all of the pipes and all the workings were. But the board decided reluctantly to allow him in. He went in, he closed the door, and no one heard a sound. Nothing. A day went by. Nothing. A second day went by. A third day. And on the third day, about noon, a hymn started ringing out from the organ and filled the valley and the walls in this village. And the people dropped what they were doing. The farmers left their plows and the merchants closed up their shops. And the people came rejoicing, hearing the sounds of the organ. And the old man came out and he said, this is wonderful. We've tried to get experts to come fix this organ, and nobody could do it. How is it that you were able to repair it? And he said, I built this organ 50 years ago, and I have come today to restore it. The Creator can restore his creation like nobody else. And I submit to myself and to you that when I need a handyman, when I need an expert, I need to turn to the Creator for that. Jesus restores us. When parts of our lives are broken, Jesus puts them back together. Well, which parts? I started thinking about that. Many parts of our lives can be broken. Amen? Many parts. I thought, well, I'll choose one. Oh, no, I better choose three. I actually chose five. There's probably many more, but I chose five. And all of these things need tender, loving care. A skilled surgeon, a master builder, a savior. Let's explore him. I'm going to begin with broken promises. I'm going to move to broken laws, and then to broken relationships, and then broken hearts, and then broken bodies. Broken promises. I love this. It's in Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? That's God. He's totally faithful. He's totally reliable all the time. But that's not mankind. That's not us. We are not faithful. We are not reliable all the time. And our culture is sick. And our culture is getting sicker all the time in terms of keeping promises. Just look at the divorce rate. In the United States alone, the divorce rate for first marriages is 50% today. For second marriages, it's 67% today. For third marriages, it's 74% today. But the United States is sixth on the list of nations around the world in terms of divorce. Number one is Russia. In Russia, 53% of first marriages end in divorce. One publication said this: the majority of the divorce cases registered in Russia are due to men's behavior in general. The men in Russia abuse their wives. They are unfaithful and leave all the household and parental responsibilities to the women. This kind of behavior displayed by the men is the main reason for the rising divorce rate in Russia. And I want to submit that the United States of America is in the same situation today. We suffer from the same malady. Men are not taking their responsibilities in their families, in their homes, in their lives. The best description that I think we could give of the godliness of the people on this planet is sick, sicker, and sickest. If there's anything positive about the statistics, it's that professing Christians are 20% less likely to get a divorce in those time frames. But how comforting is that? How comforting is that? Brothers and sisters, we are children of the promise. Did you hear that? You are a child of the promise. And we read in the scriptures over and over that the people of God rejoiced in the fact that God never failed to fulfill his promises. And they prayed to him to keep them. Lord, we rejoice. Please keep your promise to me. But that's all about me. Lord, do this for me, me. Give me, me. Help me, me, me. Lead me, me, me. You are faithful, me, me, me. Well, what about your promises to God? Our promises to God. Are we faithful? Do we keep our promises? James Bodie captured it in this hymn. He said, "O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway if thou wilt be my guide." So how are you doing in keeping your promises to God? Do you serve Jesus Christ the way Jesus Christ deserves to be served? Do you wander from the path that he has placed before you? Or do you need Jesus to restore your promises to God? He can reignite the commitment that you felt burning in your spirit when you first gave your life to Jesus Christ. You remember that time when Jesus was new and wonderful? But like R.B. was saying today, it's the old, old story we've heard so long, ho-hum, yawn, yawn, no, no. He can ignite that fire in you, brothers and sisters. Your bones can burn with excitement and commitment and recommitment for Jesus Christ if he restores to you the promises that you have made. If you are willing to let go of your life, broken promises. Now let's talk about broken laws. Listen to these damning words in Exodus 24, verse 3. It says, "When Moses went and told the people of the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice." Listen. "Everything the Lord has said, we will do." I'm sure they meant it. But you know what happened? They failed. They failed. They promised to obey God's laws, but they failed. They conformed to the standards of the nations living around them, just the way Christians conform to the standards of the culture all around us. Nothing's changed, has it? We're all in the same boat. And I'm not talking about just the Jews here. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me today. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 126, this: "It is time for you to act, O Lord. Your law is being broken." It's time for you to act, O Lord. Your law is being broken. He could do that. He has the right to do that. He has the ability to do that. He could look down on this pitiful little planet that we live on, this dying cinder called Earth, and he could just crush us with a word, like we might crush an anthill under a boot. And he can do that. He will do that someday. But because of his divine love and his perfect patience with us, he chose instead to crush his son for us. First John 2, verse 4. The man who says, "I know him," speaking of Jesus, "I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Do you need Jesus to restore your promises to God for obedience to God? "Everything you said, O Lord, I will do." He can turn your rebellion into submission if you are willing to let him be in your driver's seat. Broken promises, broken laws, broken relationships. Imagine that you are hosting a wonderful, huge dinner party. Now, some of you ladies are already ahead of me now. You're starting to, You're starting to figure out what the place setting is going to be and which flowers you're going to use. A huge dinner. You're going to invite every person who has ever crossed your life who is significant and wonderful. Every person that you want to be there that is special in your life. Relatives and friends and so on. Let me ask you, who is the one or the last person on your list that you would invite because you really don't want to see them anymore? You know what? We all have a list like that. We all have lists of people that we really don't want to see anymore. We really don't like them anymore. We really don't love them anymore. Maybe they don't like you anymore, and they don't love you anymore either. Our relationships, your relationship is broken. If I were to ask you to put your hand up if you've got a broken relationship back there and you wouldn't invite somebody, I bet everybody could think of somebody. 1 John 2:9, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Where are you in terms of your relationships with one another, with your family members, with your friends, with your co-workers? Where are you with your relationship with Jesus Christ? Is he closer than a brother? Are you a sheep that understands and recognizes his voice when he speaks to you? Or is his voice somehow distant and far away and you haven't heard it in a long, long time? It might have been there, but you haven't heard it in a long, long time. How close are you in your relationship? Is your relationship with Jesus broken or divided or apart? Jesus can restore that relationship. You know, when you have good relationships, you perceive things differently. Here's an example. You have a child and your child takes up the violin. And they start practicing and giving recitals. Have you ever heard a child learning to play a violin? Screech, scratch. The bow stops. And you want to cover your ears. It's like the sounds of repairing the organ in Switzerland. But when it's your child, when it's your grandchild, your ears hear it differently. You're proud of them. You want to encourage them. Honey, that was beautiful. That was wonderful. It wasn't. But it was, to your ears, different because your relationship there was wonderful. Well, you know what? God hears your whining. He hears your screeching all the time when you're saying, me, 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 but he hears you with ears of love and patience and tolerance. And the closer your relationship is to him, the sweeter the sound in his ears. So do you need Jesus to restore any of your relationships? Well, he can show you how to forgive. He can show you how to accept forgiveness. Sometimes that's harder. But here's the hard part. You have to take the first step. Broken promises, broken laws, broken relationships, broken heart. Broken heart. You loved your child. You cared for your child. You provided for your child. But just like kittens and puppies become cats and dogs, your child turned on you. You thought you would be close forever, and you're not. Some of them you want to come sit on your lap. They don't want to sit on your lap anymore. Some of them have left you. Some of them don't communicate with you. Some of them have rebelled against your lifestyle, your faith. They don't seem to care. Your heart is broken. Or what about this? You fell in love. But she fell out of love with you. He left you for someone else. Your heart is broken. Or what about this? You had a wonderful church home. You invested your time. You invested your abilities and your talents. You were there for years. You poured your money into it and helped build it and helped put it together. Perhaps you were married there. Perhaps you buried someone there. But things started changing and you felt swept aside. You were no longer appreciated. You were no longer honored. Your needs were no longer being met. Your insights and your leadership were no longer valuable. Your heart was broken. Well, what about this? You look at the morals of our nation and your heart is broken. You look at your aged parents who are losing their abilities and the light has gone out of their eyes. They can't communicate the way they could before. Your heart is broken. Your loved one dies. Your heart is broken. Your life is upside down. Your heart is broken. Do you need Jesus Christ to restore your broken heart? He can do wonders with a broken heart, but you have to give him all the pieces. All the pieces. Broken promises, broken laws, broken relationships, broken hearts, and finally, a broken body. You don't have to be old to have a broken body. But all of us old people love to say that getting older is not for sissies, right? And you know this one, the golden years are when we give our gold to the doctors. I was at a dinner party in my courtyard with my neighbors. My neighbors are all in the same age category that we are. I was in a dinner party the other night, birthday party, and there were two tables, and I thought, well, now which table am I going to take my plate to? And I started toward the certain table, and the host of the home there was there talking about all of his aches and his pains and his medications and his prescriptions, and that's what old people do. They do that. I thought, I don't need to hear that. I don't need to be reminded of that. So I went to the other table. You can't see as well as you used to. You can't hear as well as you used to. You can't stand up as quickly as you used to. You can't walk as fast as you used to. Forget running. And if it doesn't hurt today, just wait till tomorrow. Maybe you can echo Job's words in the 7th chapter. He said, when I lie down, I think, how long before I get up? The night drags on, and I toss till dawn. My body is clothed in worms and scabs. My skin is broken and festering. Brothers and sisters, do you need Jesus to restore a broken body? Remember his words when he said this, this is my body broken for you. He totally understands the consequences of sin on the human body. Totally. But remember also his words to a Roman centurion when Jesus said this in Matthew 8, go, it will be done as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that very hour. This is what it says in Psalm 41:3. The Lord will sustain him on his sick bed and restore him from his bed of illness. Do you need the great physician? Well, during these first four Sundays of Lent, we have been reminded that Jesus prepares us. He warns us. He rescues us. Hallelujah. He restores us. Hallelujah. And the question today is, what does he need to restore in your life? Hear the prophet Hosea in chapter 6. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. Hear the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 15. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. If you repent, I will restore you, that you may serve me. And Acts chapter 1, after his resurrection from the dead, the disciples asked Jesus a very politically charged question. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? But after his ascension, Peter preached this message about Jesus in Acts chapter 3. He said, Jesus must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything. Ah, I'm ready, Lord. Are you ready? For God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. And finally, in his first epistle, Peter added this to his sermon. It's in chapter 5. Peter said, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus restores us, that Jesus can take the broken pieces of our lives and make something beautiful out of them. Is it any wonder, Lord, that we praise your name? We praise your name. We praise your name, Lord Jesus, and we lift this praise to you in your name. And all the people said together, amen.